It was about 2 years ago, while I was at work, I came up to a man at the ammo cabinet, and he was looking for some certain 270 ammo. He wanted it for an upcoming trip to Montana. Well, he'd planned to hunt moose there. He said he'd hired a scout for $2,500 so he could grid out the area so he'd have the best chance for one. And I mean, $2,500, that was just for him. His license was going to cost another $1,000. And the trip there is probably a $5,000 trip just to get one moose. This man looked to be of Middle Eastern descent. He said that he was a Christian, of Christian faith, and he grew up in Detroit. As we were talking, which frequently happens, conversation always turns to buying ammo for personal protection, for your family and that. And I said, well, this world isn't going to get any better until Jesus returns. And he said he did not believe in all that end time prophecy, that the world would just keep going the way it is. And it'll get better, it'll get worse, but it pretty much will always be the same. And I told him, well, that's not what the Bible says. I mean, he professed to be a Christian, so I thought he should know this stuff. Well, that led to, you know, what church we attended. I don't remember what he said, what Protestant church he attended, but he was quick to say that it really wasn't a Protestant church, but it was. I told him which church I attended and that we were Sabbath keepers. Well, he was pretty quick to say that didn't have to keep the law or the Sabbath or holy days or none of that stuff. And, of course, I said, yes, you do. It's in the Bible. So he thought that he was going to trip me up with this question. He says, well, do you eat pork? And I said, well, plain or with applesauce? No, I didn't say that. I said, no, I do not. I don't eat catfish or shellfish or any of them, any of the foods listed in the Bible that's unclean. And it kind of stopped him momentarily because he was sure I was going to say I ate catfish or pork. And he said, well, what about the vision of Peter? And that proves everything's clean. And I said, that's not talking about food. I said, it's talking about there's no unclean people. And he did seem to understand that. He goes, oh, I think I understand that. So he said that he knew a couple of Church of God people back in Detroit. He didn't say what Church of God. He was just saying they were Sabbath keepers. And so I don't know if they were living or our church, who knows. And he challenged them to explain Galatians to him. And so he said they came back and they couldn't explain it. You know, they didn't know. And I said, well, sometimes you got to do a little background research to figure out what these words really mean. You just can't take them at face value. And he seemed to act like that's right, that's what you need to do, but I don't think he does that either. But he also said that we were picking and choosing what laws to keep and what not to, you know, or we'd still be doing the sacrificing of animals. And, of course, I told him that was done away with at the crucifixion. He was very likable, and none of it was said in animosity. We just listened to what each other said. But he never did exactly say what or where in Galatians that he was talking about. And now after 2 years, I'll attempt to explain what I feel he's probably questioning. So, if you'll turn with me to Galatians 4, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 4, verse 9 and 10. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, How is it you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I figured out maybe even one of them he was talking about. And does that mean that it's bondage to keep God's Sabbath? Is that what that's saying? Well, the people of Galatia were Gentile people. So to get the true meaning, let's go back to verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you serve those which by nature are not gods. And what they're talking about is they kept turning back to their pagan idols. So it had nothing to do with God's laws. It was the pagan idols that they were worshiping and wanting to turn back to. If you'll turn to 1 John 5:3. In 1 John 5 and verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So that there tells us we're not, it's not a burden to follow God's law. Then I thought the next one he might be referring to would be in Galatians 5, verse 3. If you'll turn there with me. In 5 and verse 3, it says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So does that mean that's a burden, that we have to keep the whole law of God? Well, I was trying to come up with words to this, so it was kind of hard to do, so I just thought I would use our book to come up with the answer. The New Covenant, does God abolish, or does it abolish God's law? And I'll read part of pages 76 and 77. In there it says, Peter refers to the whole law in Galatians 5:3. It was not limited to just the spiritual principles that define sin. In it are three main categories of laws that were codified for Israel at Sinai. Each category serves different objectives. I'll only read a little of the first and then the second. The second one's one that talks about the whole law. The first, it says the law contains the Ten Commandments and many other commands, precepts, statutes, and judgments that permanently distinguish righteousness from sin. This category of law is not temporary. So the first one was good from the beginning of time till now. It'll never go away. But the second one, it says the whole law contains symbolic regulations pointing to Christ's role in solving humanity's problem with sin. These physical sacrifices, offerings, and ceremonies filled a temporary need, and they did it very well. Yet those observances are no longer required. Jesus became the sacrifice for sin they represented. And it says Hebrews 9, verses 9 and 10 explain this clearly. So if you wanted to write that down, just read that later. So by digging into the scripture, we know Paul was not doing away with the law, but he was actually encouraging it to keep it. So in conclusion, Paul has admonished the Romans. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 3:31 he says, Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law.